If you're looking forward to the game tonight, Florida State baseball on at 8 o'clock playing LSU. Well, folks, we got Tim Linnefelt, special edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report, with his insight and analysis, talking too about helping youngsters. And we've got Lisa Jackson here with the Unconquered Scholars Program from FSU. You're going to love this. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. And by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far. Bed liners, bed caps, toys to throw your money at. Car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms. Detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs. Mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts. Everything is here from A to Z.
Opportunity for you and I to talk with some of the very coolest, neatest, most fabulous people that you're going to find hereabouts as we look into further examples of Tallahassee and what it is about. And there's a lot of discussion these days among at least some people who have said that we need to find our brand, and we're not quite sure why. First of all, we need that. But assuming that we have a good reason in hand, then the next question might be, at least the next question I ask is, where we go to find that answer. I mean, if we're without a brand and we need to find one, the question is why, and then where would we go? What is the end result of all this? I don't know. It's like the conversations I have with people who are concerned about the diversity of their given organization, right? Or even the diversity of this community. I mean, some people have spent a lot of money, a lot of time trying to figure all that out. Are we diverse enough? I mean, what's wrong with just letting people be who they are, sort of naturally, I guess you'd say, without a whole lot of concern about fixing that artificially or with some third party involved? I don't know what that really means, but I'm just asking the question here, you know. When is it that Tallahassee makes its own discoveries? And if you're a diverse population, do you really need to state that? Isn't that pretty much, you know, what's the Latin expression, Carl? When something is clearly apparent and obvious on its own without any fortification? I'm not very good at Latin. Carl's my go-to guy for Latin. Right, Carl? Aren't you a Latin guy? Well, I thought you, like, aced Latin in high school or something. No? You were there. You were like the guy, if I recall correctly. Well, anyway, so I just think that we often make a lot of fuss about a lot of things that really don't matter, and don't matter in the sense that they aren't going to change the ultimate outcome. Okay? It's like trying to make people care about one another. I mean, please help me. I don't know how to do that. And I've spent a lot of time, and I spent a lot of years, money, effort, trying to make people care about each other. Yeah, I mean, that was my thing. I came to Tallahassee to go to graduate school so I could be a family therapist, 1978. And, I mean, I'd been working on that for the prior 4 or 5 years before I got to Florida State. All kinds of things, counseling practice and working within various organizations. Started a couple of those myself, and private practice up and down the way. Mental health counseling, church work. Man, I mean, the faces all kind of blur after a while, to be honest with you. Sorry to say, because I mean, people's lives at stake here. Some of them, I recall, and I even see now and then, gratefully seem to be doing quite well for themselves. Take little credit for that, I'll say. But in all of it, I mean, I certainly worked hard, I think. I worked as hard as I knew how to work to create for these folks that I was serving the sense of why it's important that we care for one another and try to impart that. I mean, it was tough enough to do that with my own 4 kids. You know, teaching them to be kind to one another, to care for one another. I guess you do that by example, best of all. You know, when you can show somebody by way of your own demonstration. But see, that to me, that is what we can do that is ultimately, genuinely effective. You know, don't talk about diversity or finding your brand. Just be who you are. Just do it. Just create that thing that is unique to your own way of life, your own situation. Care for those that are right within your grasp. You know, it's like the idea of changing the world. Start by doing the dishes. Take the stuff that's right in front of you. The family that you are caring for, the friend that you know that needs your help, the organization that just seems to light your fuse. You want to give some of your time. Right. So, I mean, we're going to talk with some people today who are doing that. This Lisa Jackson. Wow, she's on fire. She can't talk to you about this Unconquered Scholars Program without tearing up. She's been with him about 3 years. It's remarkable. Absolutely remarkable what they're doing. Helping kids who are, you know, facing some tough stuff, we'd say, coming through foster care or homelessness, in one way or another, challenged. They're going to tell you their own story. We have them with us in the second hour of the show today. Unconquered Scholars Program, FSU. Pretty cool stuff. So there you go. An immediate opportunity to grab hold of something that's meaningful to you, where you can do the greatest good for the greatest number of people, even if that's simply one person, just do it. Maybe that then begins to help us all better discover our brand, whatever that means, or our identity, or our characteristics that we are then known for outside of ourselves, right? I like stuff that's genuine. Maybe other people don't, but I like what's real, genuine, honest. Why? Because I can come back to it later and it's still the same. I mean, it's still there. Yep. That's what we love about monuments, I think, and holidays. traditions that we kind of hang our hat on. We come back a year later or 10 years later, and by goodness, they're still there. Right? We just celebrated Memorial Day. I mean, those testimonies, those statements of fact remain. Well, let my life be then that statement of fact. This is what I do. This is who I am. This is what I believe in. And if I can translate that to a group level, maybe a organizational level, then perhaps a community level, let other people decide who we are as such, or let them come to their conclusions and draw from that what they observe with us. If you've got it figured out, let me know. Stay with me.
I love my Volvo. That's why I love Volcar. They take care of my Volvo the way I do. But my husband doesn't drive a Volvo. Good news, Volcar cares for all cars, and they give the same extra attention to detail and the same qualified precision every car requires. New or not so new, Carol and her team at Volcar are some of my most favorite people. She makes it a lot easier to understand what's going on with my car. And I trust her. And I think my husband does too, especially when he saw they charge less than his mechanic for the same service. So we're just one big happy family. Me, my Volvo, and my husband. With a little help from our friends at Volcar.
Volcar Sales and Service on Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Miccosukee in Tallahassee. Volcar for all cars. On the web at volcartally.com or call 942-4980. 942-4980.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development.
Hello, Tallahassee. It's Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have here a guest who is going to be your best friend if you're the owner of something like an iPad, an iPhone, or any kind of Apple device. This is the guy you're going to want to know. Greg Kulavas with Mac and More Systems. He is in the studio with us today. Greg, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Miriam. Appreciate it.
I love your store. I love your service.
Thank you.
Because, you know, I'm macked out to the nth degree, and I'm not going to go back. But a lot of people aren't, and their whole orientation to Apple is that little insignia on the back of their phone.
Phone or iPad.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
Well, you know, I was trolling on their site this past week, and I noticed that the MacBook, one of the MacBooks, weighed less than the MacBook Air.
Correct.
That is cool.
And they have publicly come out and said that, so that's what gave a lot of folks the wherewithal to think that maybe the MacBook Air was going to be getting dropped altogether.
Yeah, I bet. Why even have it if it
weighs the same or less, and it's the same thickness as the thickest part of the Air.
Amazing.
And that's the MacBook, the 13-inch MacBook. So that's what's given a lot of folks that forethought to say maybe Apple's going to be dropping the Air altogether and just going into the Pros and the MacBook.
Well, when you get down under 2 pounds, that's pretty phenomenal. But gosh, when you're carrying it around on your shoulder all day from one appointment to another,
every pound helps.
That's the truth.
Yes.
What about connectors? Are they going to change all the connectors on us?
Well, they did that already with the MacBooks and MacBook Pros back in September, October, when they announced those. And they went to the USB-C or Thunderbolt 3 connector. So these laptops no longer have your standard USB connectors or your Thunderbolt or your FireWire connectors. These just have the USB-C.
Okay.
And that USB-C does both power, audio, video, data, all through one port. But it is a different port. It is a different connector. So we're having a lot of our customers who wanted to be early adapters having to pick up these little dongles, these little adapters to plug in there so I can plug in my USB drives, my
So they can use their old cord with an adapter.
For data, for hard drives, for printers, yes. For power, no. It's a totally different cord now.
A different cord for
Correct.
The power.
Correct.
So you have to be ready to convert
Correct.
Everything. What about... for earbuds.
They do have a speaker port on these computers as well, your standard little 3.5 millimeter jack like you see on the bottom of your iPhones, unless it's an iPhone 7, like you see on the bottom of your iPhones. So your standard headsets do still work with all these laptops as well.
Okay. And what's the iPhone 7 got?
The iPhone 7, they dropped that headphone jack, and they're just doing it through the lightning connector, the charging port.
Oh.
And Apple has been or had been given out an adapter that went lightning to that little 3.5 millimeter jack that we're accustomed to.
Uh-huh.
But you only have that one port on the bottom of your iPhone 7. That was to help create a better water-resistant phone,
yeah.
Not waterproof, water-resistant.
Right.
So we have to warn customers. You get it, the language is specific there. Don't drop it in the pool.
Oh,
it's not waterproof.
I was getting out of a canoe on the Wakulla River when it hit my iPhone in my pocket, and I watched the screensaver
just
float
sinking
all the way to the bottom.
Ooh.
I grabbed it out like it, you know,
right,
like that would make a difference.
Yep, no.
But 48 hours in that bag of rice.
It was helping, huh?
I was working again.
Right.
So they're a little sturdier than people think.
We hope so. It's just a lot of luck.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest thing I always warn folks about, I mean, the rice can help,
uh-huh,
but principally you got to get inside and disconnect that battery.
Uh-huh.
Because you got electricity still flowing through there, which is going to cause the corrosion, which is going to cause the boards to break down, et cetera.
Right.
And so when customers come to us with their phones, if they've been doused, if they've been hit by rain, that's the first thing we're going to do is just open it up, disconnect the battery, and then do a quick visual inspection and even show you, yeah, no, there's a ton of water in here. And so now we'll dry it out as best we can and let it sit in open in the office overnight, maybe two nights, and see how well it dries out before we reconnect electricity to it.
Yeah. So if people have an iPad or an iPhone, and maybe it's been dropped on concrete or dropped in the, you know, in the sink or something, and they're just afraid of bringing it in for a repair because they don't know what it's going to cost, can you guys give kind of a diagnostic for a low price? Tell me what that would
A lot of times we'll just chat with you at the counter there,
yeah,
before we even check it in, because let's see what the background is. If you can inform us better that, no, it was dropped in the pool, it was dropped, it went through a laundry cycle, you know, taking it in, it's not booting up now, it's not going to boot up when we take a look at it,
yeah,
without putting a lot more money into it, replacing
right
boards, replacing parts, where now the price of that repair is as big as replacing the whole phone as it is fixing that one.
Yeah.
So we can chat with you at the counter and give you some advice that way. If the phone, the pad is still working,
mm-hmm,
then it may be reasonable. We can take it in the back. We can open up that phone. We can disconnect that battery and let it dry out and see how that may perform in a day or so and what's going on with the device. And the same presence with computers.
Yeah.
We get computers all the time with somebody knocked over a glass of whatever. And so the same premise, we have to get that battery disconnected so we stop the electron flow through the circuitry that causes the corrosion that you see.
Okay, everything you just said sounded like magic words to me. So I know that if anything happens to my iPhone or my MacBook Air, I am going to come and see you. I hope everybody out there is going to come and see Greg. He's got a brick and mortar. It's right near Esposito's Garden Center, right?
Right next door to Esposito's.
On Capitol,
yes,
Circle Northeast.
Northeast.
And he and his staff, they're not scary at all. They will wave their magic wand over your things and hopefully get them working for you again.
Feel free to give us a call anytime. It's 850-894-3622.
You're a great guest, Greg, and I want to have you back again and again. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate it, Miriam. Thank you very much.
And that's all the time I have today, Tallahassee. I appreciate you being with us. For Tallahassee Business Spotlight, it's Miriam Dady.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and
activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you are a fan of college baseball, if you are a Florida State fan, if you've been in Tallahassee for the last week or two, very likely then you are intensely aware of the situation at hand, where Florida State baseball is headed back to Omaha for another appearance in the College World Series. In fact, that first attempt, that first game is tonight at 8 o'clock, and it seemed only fitting that we would invite our very favorite fan of baseball and fan of Florida State athletics, Tim Linnefelt, with a special edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Brian. How are you?
It's a pleasure, as always.
Well, good.
Seeing your handsome face here. For those who don't know you well, you can follow Tim. Twitter is a great way to keep up with the old...
Well, yeah, we have a lot of fun on there.
Tim Meister, and lots of fun, especially during the game.
It's absolutely worth the price of admission, I can promise you that.
Or during the, 7.5-hour delay.
Yeah, that was a great one.
Thanks for keeping the rest of us from falling asleep.
Oh, if I could have done that for myself.
Tim was chiming in with everything he could think of. We had photos of the field and tarps being drawn over and, you know, not a whole lot of rain, but that lightning was just raising ruckus.
Yeah, that really is remarkable. You know, it was funny because at around hour 3 or 4 of that delay, you know, we were watching, had the Florida Wake Forest came up in the press box, and we were watching that, and then they got delayed too. But then it was really pouring there. There was a lot of rain. I was like, well, at least you know they
actually, at least they're not getting soaked.
They don't have an argument, so you know. But anyway, we press on.
We pressed through that whole delay and ended up coming back to win that game.
Yes,
and remarkably, it was. Tell me about that game.
Well,
shutout.
It was an emphatic shutout, 19-0. It was kind of funny, like I said, not to belabor the point, but you sit and wait for pushing 8 hours, and the game was scheduled to start at noon, and most people got there before then, and then it started at 7:30. And then on the first at bat of the game for Florida State, Taylor Walls hits a home run. Right off the start. So, you know, make it worth the wait a little bit, give you something to get excited about.
Right. And a lot of those folks did. I mean, they were there through the duration.
Yeah.
Easily could have packed up and gone home, but man, they were there.
Well, and what made it tough, you know, is they tried to play the game the whole time. So, you know, it's like you get
just
there.
Just never knew when they
right.
Be
it's
able
not like
to
you got there at noon
off,
and said, all right, just so you know, we're going to start at 7:30. It was noon, then it was 2:30, then it was 5, and then it was 7:30 finally.
Wow.
So, on and on.
So let's talk about the game itself.
Okay.
There were those moments when you just kind of sat back and said, wow. I mean, what happened?
Well, anytime you're up 19-0 on an opponent in baseball, yeah, that's a wow situation. That's a good question. I go once again, 19-0. I don't know that you can really apply logic or reason to that. But given what had happened the day before, where Florida State really got off to a rocky start against Sam Houston State in the first game, got down 5-1, and had to come back and won it on a walk-off single. I guess would have been a double, I guess, but a walk-off single. A really exciting come from behind fashion. You might have been expecting more of the same on
Remarkable.
Sunday, and it just turned out to not be the
case.
And
yet, how many times did they load the bases? Florida State, three or four times, if I recall, and few of those actually were driven in.
Yeah.
So this raised some concern among some of the more analytical members of the team, or I should say the crowd, the fan base. when they're looking at that and saying, hey, we got to fix that if we're going to Omaha.
Yeah, well, but, you know, the other side of it is sort of like buying lottery tickets, you know what I mean? If you do it often enough, you're going to cash in sooner or later. So
when you think about some of the higher, let's say, the more celebrated moments of the game, what stands out in your mind?
The last game?
Yeah.
Well, again, I would say that first home run, which again turned out to be all that they would actually need. I thought, you get overshadowed as a pitcher when your team wins 19-0, but yeah. Drew Parrish, who's a freshman, pitched really well, and that's a solid and unorthodox offense that he was facing, and he really kept them off the board. Yeah. They like to bunt, they like to steal. Now, granted, when you're down by 10 runs, bunting isn't really a great way to do it. But really, to me, more what I'll think about when I think about that game is not the run scored; it's the sort of scene at the end of the game. You know, seeing the guys in the dugout as those last outs are being recorded and the celebration on the pitcher's mound when they finally, realize that they've won, it's over, and they're going to go to the College World Series. It's the first time for any of the players to go there. They haven't been. Florida State hasn't been since 2012, so nobody on the current team was here back then.
There.
So it was a fun thing.
And there was this post-game locker room video that got circulated.
Yeah, that was a fun one, huh?
Coach Martin is, kind of playing it cool.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of unleashed a charming moment there for a man who I think a lot of players over the years recognize as a contributor to their success, both on and off the field. I mean, he has that kind of reputation where, he's looking there at how this kid's going to play for the next, let's say, 4 years, 3 or 4 years. But he's also a coach who looks very carefully at how he can contribute to their welfare as a person. When you've been around Coach Martin a long time, what are some of your experiences with him?
Well, he's a treasure. In a lot of ways, a funny story. He's just so, he's got such a great sense of humor and just sort of a charm to him. A funny moment to me was in the press conference with Florida State and Sam Houston State before the series started. It was on Friday afternoon, and Sam Houston State's coach, a guy named Matt Deggs, really, really interesting guy, and he had a great press conference after the game that's actually kind of gone viral a little bit. I've seen it on some social media that's talking about, what it means to coach guys. It's great. He seemed like a cool guy. But so he gets up there, and he's really kind of intense about things. You know what I mean? He's like, we believe we're in the business of doing the impossible, and we're giving hope to people when they need it. And he said, and somebody asked him about, going up against Florida State. He's like, look, we're a pack of wolves, and we believe that, you don't try to take down a buffalo by yourself. If you do that, you're going to get gored and you're going to die. Literally talking about getting gored and dying. He said, but if the wolves work as a pack, they can take that buffalo down. I'm like, all right, okay. So it's kind of, white knuckle affair for this press conference. And then and it was good. Don't get me wrong. I believe he was genuine in everything he said, but it was just, oh man, all right, this dude's dialed in. And so he gets finished up, and then Mike Martin, has done this a few times, he gets up there and he goes, boy, this guy made me feel like Elizabeth Taylor's eighth husband on honeymoon night. And I to this day, I'm not really sure what that means, but you get the sense of where everybody's minds are at that point. And it was very funny. And I think you kind of have a loose personality when you've been in baseball for so long. So.
Well, and that part of his personality you don't see at all when he's on the field. That's a guy who just stays as cool and as calm. I don't think I've seen, at least in recent years, now maybe in his old days, he was jumping up and down a lot more, younger days, I should say.
Here and there, he'll surprise you, though. He'll surprise you if he sees something he doesn't like, or especially a call that he doesn't like. He saw that you referenced in that locker room video. I think he's a master of going from cool and collected to zero to 60.
He knows when to unleash at that particular moment. When you find yourself looking forward now and you think about where this can go, they're playing. Of course, they're playing LSU tonight.
Yeah,
and it's the best of. How does it work?
How much time we got? It's a bit of a complicated format. Basically, it's a repeat of what they just did to get to this.
Because they've got eight teams.
There's eight teams. All right, so there's
total.
So you have two groups of four.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
And so those two groups of four compete amongst each other.
Yeah.
In a best of. A double elimination format.
Right.
So you keep doing that, and then at the end there'll be two teams left in each one,
yep.
And the team that has no losses, if they win one, they advance out, and the team that has one loss has to win twice. Does that make sense? I know we're getting kind of in the weeds here.
Yeah.
So you do that on both sides, and then once it's all said and done, there will be two teams, one from either side, that's still around.
Right, right.
Those two teams will play a best-of-three series to determine the national champion.
Yeah. Okay, so LSU, Florida State tonight at 8 o'clock.
That's right.
If Florida State wins, then what happens to LSU?
Then LSU, so Florida State will play LSU Saturday night.
Yep.
Tonight. And earlier in the day, Oregon State and Cal State Fullerton will play.
Okay.
So if Florida State beats LSU, Florida State will play the winner of the previous game.
I see.
And the two losers will play each other, and whoever loses, that's out. All right, so they're done.
Gotcha.
So then Florida State, and let's say Florida State and Oregon State play. Whoever loses that plays whoever's remaining from this group.
I gotcha.
And on and on and on until there's only one left. It's going to take a while.
I'll tell you what you have to do. Go to go to Florida State baseball website and just look at the brackets. It'll be a lot easier to figure out.
Still, I think we need Einstein figuring stuff out. So.
Stay with me, folks. I've got Tim Linnefelt. We're talking about Florida State baseball as we head to Omaha tonight, 8 o'clock, playing LSU. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically. But he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So I got Tim Linnefelt here, a special edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report, talking about FSU baseball playing tonight, LSU in the World Series. What do you look for tonight? What do you think is going to happen?
I expect it to be a low-scoring game. There's two really high-quality pitchers going. LSU's starting pitcher was just drafted high in the Major League Baseball draft. Just a few days ago, and for Florida State, Tyler Holton, the local kid, by the way, went to Lincoln High School. That's right, yep. And has been just fantastic over the last few weeks. Save for a start against Sam Houston State that wasn't up to his usual standards, but I almost throw that one out because of the way that they play. I think against a more conventional offense, I think he'll probably be fine. I wonder who's going to rise to the moment. I know that's kind of a cheesy sort of cliche, but you're talking about a game that's going to be, it'll be 7 o'clock in Omaha, but an 8 o'clock primetime game nationally televised in a stadium that holds 24,000 people, which by the way is about four times as much as what you get usually at Dick Cowser Stadium, if not more than that. The lights are on. It's the biggest stage any of these guys have ever played on in front of the biggest crowd that they've ever played in front of, in all likelihood. Who rises to the occasion? Who is the moment too big for? And I think whoever kind of keeps it together, will probably be the one to win.
So staying cool, calm, and collected is important.
I feel that way about most things in life.
Yeah, indeed. Well, and they've got a coach who does that for the most part. I think one of the observations, too, is that with younger players, with all of that energy, pounding through them, the biggest discipline is just to really settle down and slow down.
Right.
Don't try to get ahead of yourself, no matter where you are in the count, no matter where you are in the game. When you think of those players on the team, and you mentioned Holton, who are some of the other stars that come to your mind?
Well, he's certainly a big one the way he's pitched lately. The guys at the top of the order, Taylor Walls, Dylan Busby, Jackson Luke, the 1-2-3 hitters for Florida State have all been really, really good over the last month or so, which is when Florida State really turned around their season.
Yeah.
Jackson Luke, he's a sophomore left fielder, and he's been just about on fire lately.
His bat has been remarkable, hitting
around 400 over the last month, which will absolutely play. He was a big part of that comeback against Sam Houston State, had four straight RBI singles to help win the game, including the walk-off winner. And so I think, you know, from Florida State's perspective, and there's a lot of guys that are, based on what they've done over the last month when they've been on this surge, are feeling really, really confident.
Yeah.
And as they should. You know, they're at this point, if they're not the hottest team in the country, they're absolutely one of them.
Right.
And so they feel really good about it. So to kind of take it back to what we were saying a minute ago, you know, to me, everybody is capable in their own way. Even some of the guys toward the bottom of the lineup, I think, have been hitting better lately, and that's a good thing to see. You know, my question is, on either side, who makes the most plays that they're supposed to make? Who's the one that, you know, make sure you make the play at third when the ball's
makes
to
the
you?
Fewest mistakes.
Right, exactly right. You know, who can make the fewest mistakes on routine plays? And sometimes it comes to that. And so I don't think Florida State's going to have a hard time scoring. It's just a matter of you know, picking up the ball,
thinking
making the throw.
Of that, you mentioned Busby. A couple of occasions when it happened just about the same way. And the first time he did it, he actually missed the out because the runner's running in front of him, and he
went out
tried,
to tag him.
Tried to make the tag.
Yeah.
And instead of just getting the out at first base, he started to do that the other night. And I think a little voice said, that's how you missed the out last time.
Right.
Throw to first. And he did, made the out. But even listening to some of the folks talking about that at the moment, he said, you know, that's something that Martin is going to fix with that guy. He's going to make sure he understands, look, that's not how you're going to play that. And in a player's mind, how does that happen? Is it sort of reactionary? It's instinctive? So the discipline is to be counterintuitive, I guess.
I think there's probably a lot to that, actually. That's a good observation in that, you know, I think we In sports media now, and you can see everything from so many different angles and in super slow motion and freeze frame, whatever else, you see a guy do something that maybe doesn't make sense to you, and you think, man, why would he think
that?
And to him, it's happening like that, right?
Yeah,
and so the ball's hit to you, you see the ball, you field it, you see a guy running in front of you. And that specific play.
You have to go against that instinct, I suppose.
Right. Yeah. And on that specific play, I mean, look, you know, he missed the guy by, I don't know, an inch or two.
Right.
If he gets him, we're not even having this conversation.
Right, right.
So, but that's exactly right. You know, take the out, do, you know, when you have to combine your physical abilities with your mental training to get the most out of it. And
well, would you agree that those kinds of questions become even more significant as your competition increases?
Oh, of course.
So
as they
go forward, right, there's
everything just becomes more significant at this stage.
There's narrower room for error.
Exactly. And then that game, like you mentioned, is a perfect example. Florida State was able to overcome that, and as well as several other miscues and errors and things that they probably wish that they had done differently in that first game against Sam Houston State. Can you get away with it then? Yeah, but as you saw, they won by one run in that particular game. Will you be able to get away with it against LSU or an Oregon State, who has spent a lot of the year ranked number one in the country?
Yeah.
Maybe you can, but you probably would prefer not to find out.
And what is that, too, about Florida State baseball, and it could be said of even Florida State football, there's that business of being confronted with their own inabilities, or their – not inabilities, but they're confronted with mistakes they've made early in the game or early in a series. I mean, I lost that first game. And when they came in against Tennessee Tech. And so something about Florida State baseball that says, hey, we're going to fix that. They come back, and right away they're back in the game again. And Corey Clark made this point earlier in the week in his column. He says, don't count them out.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a guy who wins 40 games a season in 40 years.
Yeah,
that's formidable. You can't dismiss that.
No, I think there's something to that. That's a good question. I don't know that I have an answer for that. I think when you talk about winning 40 straight games or 40 games for 40 straight years, I mean, it's an incredible achievement. I think the next longest active streak in the country is 6 years, so that gives you an idea.
Yeah.
But the temptation for us is to look at those 40 years and sort of group them all as one single entity, whereas, you know,
they're different every
different group of players, different guys, even, you know, your coaches, even Mike Martin being the same guy, obviously, but he might have been a different guy 40 years ago in some ways. I'm sure, you know, he's evolved in some ways.
Yep.
I don't. That's a good question. I mean, maybe it's just, you know, the group of guys that you have. You want to find a good chemistry in the locker room that says, you know, yeah, the guys that believe in themselves. And I give, yeah, you know, those guys credit. You know, it wasn't all that long ago that they were having a really difficult year, and that streak that you mentioned, the 40 wins for 40 years, that was in some serious jeopardy.
See, that's my thought too. That because the talent is the same, you know, the technical abilities that these players bring, that doesn't change from one inning to the next or from one game to the next. Maybe it is that belief issue. Maybe it is that sense of, hey, we can make this work. We can fight back. And they certainly did that, you know, the other night,
yeah,
against
it was that Sam Houston State.
State. And they're trying to fight back. And they were like in a 5-run deficit,
yeah,
I think. Yeah. Came back and won the game.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's kind of a cliche to say, but I think confidence is the most important thing that an athlete can have. You have to believe you can do it for it to work. And so, you know, once you mix that in with your natural ability, that's kind of what it is. And I, you know, I give these guys credit, and it's easy to say now, but but I believe, you know, nobody, at least publicly, ever showed any signs of despair or anything like that, because they said, and they were right, like, look, you know, we still have, you know, opportunities ahead of us and still have things to play for. And once they get it together, and they did. And I think baseball, maybe more than any other sport, is cruel in its randomness. You know, you can outplay a team in baseball and still lose if the ball's, you know, if you're hitting the ball the wrong direction or hitting it at guys or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And sometimes things just don't fall your way, and then that can be frustrating. But you'd like to think, kind of like said earlier about, you know, purchasing lottery tickets or what have you, if you keep doing things the right way long enough, sooner or later that pendulum will swing back toward you.
Well, we're going to find out tonight, folks. Florida State playing LSU tonight in the World Series game opener for them. Series opener, I should say. And in fact, that game is at 8 o'clock. Mr. Linnefelt, always a pleasure having you with us.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your insightful analysis, and go Noles.
We'll see you next time.
All right, folks. Stay with me. We got more coming up after the top of the hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Trucking Hawk Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Trucking Hawk Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truckin' Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truckin' Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're here with the second hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. This here fine radio show brought to you by all the many fine sponsors who find it within their hearts to support us in our humble efforts, bringing you the best of what we can find about us. If you missed it, Tim Linnefelt with us in that first hour of the show, talking about the big game tonight, opener for FSU baseball playing LSU World Series. It's big stuff. Gotta say, Mike Martin, 40 wins every season for 40 years. Remarkable. Yeah. So that's on, and we're looking forward to it. That's tonight at 8. In this hour, I've got Lisa Jackson. What are you talking about here? Well, we're talking FSU's program dubbed the Unconquered Scholars Program. It's part of the Center for Academic Retention and Enhancement, and our guest Lisa Jackson is the assistant director over there. She's got a couple of the kids that are in that program with her: Abdullah DeRozier, Rebecca Bear. Cool, huh? It gets cooler. You're going to like to
hang around and hear about what they're doing to help these kids and what these kids are doing to help themselves. Holy smokes. I'm 62 years old and I'm not as motivated as they are. And what they have pushed through and pushed past to get to where they are, and how credible they are in their assertion that this program has been remarkably helpful for them. But you get this sense that with or without the program, they would have done this. You know, that's the kind of people they are. So you might ask the question, at least it's one of the questions I'll ask Lisa. He's like, you know, if the program weren't there, and it's only been around for like 3 years, I think, what did these kids do before that? Well, a lot of them just didn't get through the system. That's biggest part, I think. So they shouldn't have the backing. You know, they didn't have the intervention. They didn't have the networking going on. And I can tell you, I mean, maybe you've done this. I know that my wife and I did this for our four kids going through 4 years of college. There's a lot of phone calling that goes on to a lot of different places and people that are part, you know, that's all part of that process. It is not a straight line. At least it wasn't in our experience. Holy smokes, no. So you have to know how to navigate through all that stuff. Well, thankfully, my wife had this background as a financial aid officer over there for years in our early days, meaning as a couple, when we met, she was working over there at Florida State. So she knew that whole program, and she knew a lot of the people in the financial aid department, so much so that a lot of my kids' friends would call to say, Mrs. Cerny, could you help me? I'm trying to figure out my financial aid. Man, and she'd get it done. See, and it's that kind of supportive network that this Unconquered Scholars program is bringing. It's very personal. You're going to find out that Lisa Jackson, man, she's as ground level as they get. I think she's like a surrogate big sister, mom, aunt, friend, all of that. It's very cool stuff. Anyway, just wanted to say that in keeping with our fine tradition here of trying to tell you about the stuff we think is really cool, we've got Lisa Jackson coming. Here's something else that's cool. This is a notice from our friends over there at the library. Leon County Library to host adult summer program series. And this is entitled Build a Better World. It's a theme that continues with workshops taught by local experts. Aha! So Leon County announced earlier this week a three-part adult summer program series featuring home improvement. That's good. Sustainability, yes. And safety workshops at the Leroy Collins Leon County Main Library. Leroy Collins Leon County Main Library, right? So as part of the Build a Better World summer reading program, this series will teach library patrons how to improve their lives at home with lessons from local gardening, sustainability, and home safety experts. Well, isn't that cool? And the dates are, well, as of today, their first one started this morning, or will start this morning at 11, so they're in process. But they got one next Saturday on the 15th. We only get these things like a day in advance of the show, so forgive me. And then one on the 29th, that's the Build a Safer World. And that's with Nicole King, American Red Cross Disaster Program Manager. We need to get her on the show, Carl. Let's get Nicole King to come over and talk to us about being prepared. Right? It's a hot topic these days, being prepared, especially since last year's efforts to deal with Hurricane Hermine, or Hermine, your choice, was fraught with all kinds of controversies and people spitting at each other from county to city to state. Wow. It does beg the question, you know, when you're faced with crisis, before anybody can really get down to the business at hand of solving the problem, or even while that's being done, be assured you will find those who want to seize the moment to make political points. That is a game that, man, is being played out, not just on a national level, right here in our own town. Sure enough, it pervades so much of what we do now. It's a bit wearisome, don't you think? I mean, I don't know. I'm really tired of it. Can't we just get on with solving the frickin' problem and addressing the issues that are most critical to our success? I don't know. I mean, can we parse out those terms that are not useful anymore? I'm not even sure that conservative and liberal mean what we think they mean. You know? Certainly doesn't mean what it meant to my dad. Nope. So maybe we need to come up with better language that'll help describe for one another, for us, ourselves, what we're really talking about. Let's see, what else have I got here? Ah, this is good news, too. Oh, on the topic of preparedness, yes, I would be remiss if I didn't include this lovely dossier from our friend Leon County Commissioner District 5, Kristen Dozier, sent over this. I think this is her monthly newsletter, in which she describes her kickoff June 1st, talking about preparedness in relation to hurricane season. They call it Prepare Now, part of the county's citizen engagement series, and their second annual Build Your Bucket event, which attracted hundreds of people who wanted to prepare for hurricane season. So, Carl, this is good news. Of the nearly 500,000 people in the metro area, hundreds are now better prepared with their buckets. Notwithstanding, the county is certainly doing their best, I think, trying to help us all better prepare. Anyway, my friend, I'm in one of those kind of moods today where it just kind of comes and goes as the moments pass. I hope you will forgive me for pontificating. Stay with me. I've got a great rest of the show lined up for you. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Whidden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Whidden Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Whidden Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Whidden's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Whidden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Whidden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Whidden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Whidden is known for taking care of business. Whidden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
In our segment six today, we have Josh Trafton, a native of Tallahassee and a practicing optometrist with the good folks over there at Eye Associates. How are you, Doc?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You're looking well.
Thank you.
No pun intended. Yes. Well, so as a fellow of the American Academy of Optometry, and I have a smattering of other accomplishments and memberships and accreditations and such, you have all of this going on. Among all of those things that I could easily mention, including being being board certified by the National Board of Examiners in Optometry, that's a big deal. You're a consultant to the Florida Board of Optometry. You got all this going on. You've been at Eye Associates now, what, 3 or 4 years?
That's correct.
You've been in practice a total of 16
That's
years?
Correct.
How am I doing so far?
You're doing great.
You got it? Okay. And yet, when I read off these accomplishments and contributions, you point to one in particular that for you is a, you said, big deal, and that is this 501c3, the nonprofit group that you helped found In fact, you were the founding director for the Everhart Excellence Foundation. Tell us about that.
About 6 or 7 years ago, a good friend of mine and I realized there is a greater need for the students and the faculty and staff out there at Gretchen Everhart. And if you've never been out there, you should pay it a visit. These are children that have significant disabilities, and the family situations aren't always great. And they often have to do without the things that other public schools would normally get. And their needs are unique. It's a special place. My mom taught out there for 30 years, and my good friend has a child that's out there. And he and I, a few years ago, decided that we could do more. And we put together a small fund to address some of these immediate needs out there at Gretchen Everhart. And originally, we were umbrellaed by the Foundation for the Leon County Schools. And as time went on, what we thought would just be a little slush fund turned into something unexpected. We've been able to take on board somewhere around, I would say probably in donations $300,000 or $400,000 to date. And the really neat thing about it is that these are donations that are being made to us unsolicited and mostly given to us anonymously. And we have a big project coming up. We're going to be building a playground at the school. We have a lot of community partners that are out there that have agreed to help us, that are giving us their time and their services at cost.
Wow.
And it's going to be a special needs playground with adaptive playground equipment. It's a big deal.
Very cool.
It really is. And I have to say that outside of work, it's something that I'm very proud of.
Well, and with good reason. In fact, it seems to me that that opportunity for you has you plugged in at a level that may not be a part of your everyday practice. I mean, you've been seeing a lot of patients as an optometrist now for 16 years. I know with the eye associates, you spend most of your time, I guess, in testing and aftercare kinds of things. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. The bulk of my practice is indeed primary care.
Okay.
Individuals who need eye exams, comprehensive eye examination, a lot of folks with needs for diabetic eye care. And I also do post-operative care, namely post-operative cataract surgery care.
I got you.
And the other little nugget of what I do is specialty contact lens. Folks who have had advanced corneal disease, keratoconus or corneal transplant, they're not able to be rehabilitated with glasses or soft contact lenses. They need something a little bit different, and that's the niche that I live in the contact lens world.
It occurs to me that your mother, you said she taught at Gretchen Everhart for 30 years.
She did. Yeah, she was a special lady out there.
Influenced your life quite a bit, I would imagine. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And here you find yourself in the role of being a caregiver, like your mom.
That's right.
You draw a straight line between those two points?
I'd like to say it was easy to do that.
But she definitely had a role to play in moving you in the direction that you have, even within your professional practice.
No doubt.
You're
no doubt about that.
Caring for those who have special needs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you're doing this work with Gretchen Everhart Foundation, once again, but at this time, it seems to me maybe on a broader scale, maybe you're dealing with more than just someone's eyes. You're dealing with a whole situation for a youngster who's a student there, huh? And a faculty member, for that matter.
Right. And it's been really rewarding to see this Everhart Excellence Foundation become what it is to be associated with the people that serve on the board with us, who give their time freely and willingly, and to support one of my best friends who's really been the backbone of this, to see this thing go this direction. Really excited about the projects we've done in the past, and the playground that's coming is the pinnacle of what we've been able to reach. So we're excited about it.
Does Tallahassee seem different to you in some manner? Curious, for someone who's grown up here, if you think we need to find our brand.
Well, I think that Tallahassee's, you read lots about, you know, the Tallahassee just simply being a great place to raise a family.
Yeah.
And why can't that be our brand?
Yeah.
I can't think of any other place that I would want my two children growing up.
Folks, we are delighted to have the opportunity to talk with people like Josh Trafton. Dr. Trafton, one of the associates there that has contributed sizably to the health and well-being of so many people over at iAssociates right here in our hometown, Tallahassee. A pleasure having you with us this morning, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your help. Folks, stay with me. We've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Trucking Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Trucking Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Trucking Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Trucking Car Concepts, and look forward to 2017 serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
FSU's Center for Academic Retention and Enhancement has a program. They have many programs. This one's called the Unconquered Scholars Program. And you're asking, of course, well, what the heck is that? Let me tell you. The Unconquered Scholars Program provides an array of support services promoting overall success to youth who have experienced foster care, homelessness, relative care, or maybe wards of the state. Many scholars have faced profound hardships during childhood that may increase their risk of leaving academia without a degree. In fact, the research indicates former foster youth are far less likely to earn a degree than their non-foster care peers. So, FSU then is committed to meeting the unique needs of these unconquered students so that they can experience the long-term professional and personal benefits associated with educational attainment. Marvelous program, and we have the good fortune of having with us Lisa Jackson this morning. And Lisa is the person who makes all of this happen by herself. She's just the only one. Not true?
Okay. Not even close.
Oh, okay. Not even close. Okay. But let me introduce to you Lisa Jackson. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having us.
And it says right here, you're the assistant director of the Center for Academic Retention and Enhancement Unconquered Scholars Program.
That is correct.
So you don't work solo.
Not,
you're just the
no.
assistant director.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you do this for what crazy reason? I mean, what got you into doing this? Is just it seems so nonsensical. Who would care about such things?
There's a whole team of people who
is
care.
It?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Enough with the silliness, but the point is, this is not very well known from my read, and I'm glad you're here to help us better understand what it is you do. Over the many years that we've been on the air, we've had opportunity to talk with a lot of folks about foster care programs, Go Foster, for example.
Yeah.
And it's clear that for those people who find themselves in that situation as students, there are some special needs. Mm-hmm. How is it that this program is geared up to go about helping to meet those needs? What makes you different, I guess?
Well, one of the key things that makes our program different from other campus support programs across the nation, and they're still very limited, is that our program is student-driven. So even from the formation of Unconquered Scholars, the students were helping design the program. We have a student advisory board that actually helps make the decisions about what we're doing as a program. They have ownership in it. It's a program about them, it's for them, and they help drive it. So it's not an administrator like myself or someone else going, this is what we think
top
is best
sort
for
of
you.
Feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like you are the experts in what it's like to have these experiences. You are better informed to tell us what you need.
That's refreshing.
And then we can try and find a way to make that happen. Yeah. And they're a remarkable bunch of students. So I'm passionate about them and the program.
It might be worth saying, maybe it's true, that if I'm a student and I have been a ward of the state, if I am in the care of a foster family, right, perhaps I'm a more resilient sort of student above my peers in that respect, because doggone it, I gotta be able to just push through no matter what comes at me. And so you go to this student population and say, you tell us what it is we can do to help you.
And you hit the nail on the head, and I think so few people understand that. And sometimes even the incoming students don't really see their strengths. They don't see that resiliency and their grit. And we're there to help them see that. They are uniquely qualified to be at Florida State University because they have survived what they've been through, and they have made it all the way to FSU, and they are thriving. They're much more equipped to get through the challenges of college life. They just need a little extra support.
How does your day look when you think about what you do every day? Is it different every day? Is there, do you have a routine? Would you like that?
That's a great question. My day varies quite a bit. There's always student contact. I have some scheduled student meetings, but I also have students, they all have my personal cell phone number. So if there's something going on, they just want to chat, they need to chat, there's a crisis, they can reach out to me, and then, you know, I might have to put something else off to take care of that. So many of these students don't have what we refer to as a forever family, right? They don't have that person they can call when they want to celebrate because they're both doing super well and they got A's on the exam. Or if there's a crisis and they have a medical issue and they need a ride to the emergency room.
See, I have my wife for that, which is cool. When I have a good day and I can get home and I can tell her I got an A on my conversation with Lisa Jackson. That's nice. She accommodates me, puts a little note up on the refrigerator for me. I know, it's silly. Well, you know, it's good that we have with us a couple of students in hand here who can speak to this. And folks, it's our delight to have these two young folks, Abdullah DeRozier, and we've agreed that his last name was not originally pronounced DeRozier, but we're going to go with that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Abdullah. And then I have this very lovely young lady, Rebecca Bear. Rebecca, you seem to, for me, seem to be a person who reveals just how great you have to be an Unconquered Scholar. This is a person who is just not going to let somebody tell her that she can't get it done, right?
Oh, most definitely correct.
Yeah. So Lisa, see already, Rebecca comes to you knowing this. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel when you hear that from her?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah, and we try and be sure that we're all reminding each other of that. You know, and instilling that hope in each other, that understanding that they are going to do well, and that they're going to be there for each other.
And do you make a point of texting Lisa regularly, since you have her cell phone number, right? Or maybe is it more like an 11 o'clock at night phone call?
No, I do text Miss Lisa a lot, especially when I'm excited about something or something's going wrong and I need help like immediately. So she answers back super quickly, which makes it...
Maybe I should get Lisa's phone number too, because, you know. So how long have you been involved with the program? Where are you in school at this point?
I'm a rising sophomore, so I've been in the program for just now a year as of next week. So
wow.
It's pretty exciting.
That is exciting. And what an articulate person you are. Clearly, as I say, you demonstrate a lot of those capabilities that I would assume just are part of what you do, right? That you're going to push on. And then, in fact, you are unconquered in your efforts. What does that mean for you, unconquered? What comes to mind, I guess?
Being someone that came out of the foster care system and being able to go to one of my dream schools and being able to have the major support that I have to be able to strive in classes, to be able to join programs, and to even take part in summer programs that I wouldn't be able to take part of if I wasn't a part of the Unconquered Scholars, if I didn't have those peers and Miss Lisa to push me to
really
apply for more and more programs.
Okay.
And it even helps me provide a place to stay if I need a place when I'm up here.
I gotcha. So it's a network then, and you have these people around you who sort of have your back.
Most definitely.
Yeah. And then getting you aware of these things that you can plug into. Can you think of an example where you got to participate in something you would not have had it not been for this program?
Oh, most definitely. I'm thinking about switching out of a science major and looking into law. So I was looking for something that I could do for law. And I saw that there was a program this summer with the Summer for Undergraduates at the law school at Florida State. And I was like, I'm thinking about applying for it. And then our vice president of the board, Natia, she was like, hey, I applied for that. You should apply for it, too. So I applied for it, and I got in, and I just finished up that program last week. And it was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had, and I love being up here. So
my goodness. Wow. And here's Abdul over here. We got to take a quick break here because this guy's got another story to tell us, and we're going to need a little bit more time to do so. Folks, I've got Lisa Jackson with me, Rebecca Bear, and Abdullah, I want to say it correctly, DeRozier, who will continue to tell us about this magnificent program, the Unconquered Scholars Program at FSU. You stay with me. We'll be right back.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press Commercial Printers since 1983. For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services when you're ready to share your vision. Excite your audience and reach the hearts of your customers. Reach for Rapid Press. Online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Let's talk to Abdullah DeRozier here a little bit. What's your story, young man? What would you tell us about this FSU Unconquered Scholar Program?
Well, I'll tell you about the program itself. The program's been nothing but amazing for me. Initially, I didn't know anything about the program itself. I got in, I want to say through the technicality, I suppose, because of my complications of getting into FSU in general. But I didn't get a phone call from Miss Lisa or anything. I had complications with her director, Mr. Tadero Stark, into getting admitted into FSU. And he put me in contact with Miss Lisa. And going through that route, I've had the understanding of that everybody in CARE, which is the Career Center for Academic Retention and Enhancement.
Right, yeah.
And Unconquered has been nothing but helpful for me. Because in a sense, I didn't, there were certain parts of my life that I didn't think I was going to be in college in a sense. I didn't think I was going to make it to a secondary education. I didn't really think that far ahead.
Why did you think that?
Because going through homelessness and going through from house to house, it's not something that's really on your mind. Something that's on your mind is kind of like survival. So you're thinking of like what's going to get you through the next day, what's going to get you your next meal, or what's, where you're going to be able to sleep where it's not cold or it's not raining. So going to college is like, it's an idea, but it's such a far reach. You're just like, let me make my little steps in order to get to that big step. But first, let me think of my little steps are more important than my big step right now.
So you went from homelessness into a situation in which you were being cared for. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. You were in a foster care program or what?
I was not in foster care. No, I didn't like to talk. In high school, I didn't talk. I didn't tell anybody my situation for the most part. So going through high school, it was probably going from eviction to a friend's house to a friend's house. And so I had a couple of friends that knew about my situation, but I didn't tell any of the administration. And I didn't plan on telling them until I just graduated. I was going to ride.
I got you.
And then the only reason I had to tell someone is because I didn't get let onto a bus, because the bus driver was like, you don't live here, so you can't ride the bus. And so I had to tell them my situation. That one instance, that was towards the end of the year as well. That was maybe like 2 weeks of school left and I couldn't ride the bus. And if it wasn't for that bus driver, I probably wouldn't have known about the help that I could receive through the state, the school,
silver lining.
I didn't know.
There we go.
I was ignorant to the fact, and I didn't like to be pitied. That's one thing I really don't like. I don't
know, because you're an unconquered scholar.
Yeah, exactly.
You
I mean, I can do things.
Feel sorry for you.
I can do things on my own. I'm pretty capable, Roger, of handling my own. And so coming into FSU and support and from Miss Lisa and Mr. Stark, they really got me here and they really drove me to come to FSU and helped me through everything, helped me ever since the point, because I came to FSU with maybe like 35 cents to my name and like a suitcase of clothes. And now I'm just striving to be great and trying to provide for myself and my future family as well as my past.
Wow. Wow. So Lisa, you're sitting over here with tears in your eyes.
I know.
Listen to this guy. Now, this is a story you've heard not only from Abdullah, but you've heard this repeatedly.
Yeah.
How long have you been in this program? That's
I have been with the program 3 years now, and the program only started in 2012.
Ah.
So, yeah, for several years now. And I've heard, you know, all of these students have similarities, you know, in their life experiences. They faced really almost insurmountable challenges, but when faced with those, they became more determined. They worked harder. You know, they really do embody that unconquered spirit. And, you know, that's what you're hearing about today.
Yeah. If any one of you could speak to this question, can you imagine the program now is, you said, about 3 years old, Lisa?
It started in 2012. So we're about to enter our fifth year.
Mm-hmm. Imagine what it would be like for you were the program not there. Talk about that.
I only actually applied to one of my dream schools, FSU, because I learned about the Unconquered Scholars Program through a friend of mine. And after I heard about it, I was like, okay, I'm going to apply for FSU, because before I was just going to apply for a few small universities, or if not, go to the local college down in West Palm Beach. And I think that if I didn't know about Unconquered Scholars, I would have never learned about the CARE program, and I wouldn't have had the major support that I have. And I don't see having any support, especially to this extent, at any other college in the entire state of Florida.
What would you say to students who find themselves in a similar situation that you were in? How would they go about finding their way?
I would tell them to maybe look at the CARE site for FSU, or maybe the Unconquered Scholars Program, or even to reach out and contact any one of the main people that run the program, Ms. Lisa, Mr. Stark. Just reach out, because they are willing to do anything to get you to FSU, to get you to have an education. All you have to do is apply, and if you need help applying, there's people that are willing to help you take the time to apply.
Seems to me, and we've talked about this now a couple of times, that both of you have
pushed through adversity, and you're still doing that, but particularly in relation to familial issues and homelessness. And when you think about those, any of us who experience such adversities, right? What's the key to survival there? Where do you go to be able to survive?
For me, I think about two things. Where I've been, and that's usually like one of the worst places where I'd be like, what was the worst, at what point in my life was the worst that I considered to myself? And then the goals, where I'm trying to be and where I'm trying to see my family and where I'm trying to see myself at in 5-10 years down the line.
So you sort of measure the distance between those two points. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the distance between what I've been through is short relative to what I want to go and what I want to achieve.
Gotcha.
And so I'd rather look at the long-term goals than the short-term effects of what have happened and weigh the options out.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, I think about the whole, everything in as a whole rather than as just taking a part of it. And I think about what I want in my future, which is to have a family the way I want to have a family. And family is not just by blood. So I look to the Unconquered Scholars family. We have family barbecues. We do family events. Last year we went on a family retreat during Parents Weekend. And I just look at what I'm striving for in life, and I push towards that goal.
Fantastic. Rebecca Baer, everybody. She's one of the Unconquered Scholars that we're talking about this morning, along with her colleague, Abdullah Derosier. See, I said it without looking, didn't I?
You did.
Okay. There's hope for me. And the very lovely Lisa Jackson, who is the Assistant Director for the Academic Center, the Center for Academic Retention and Enhancement Unconquered Scholars Program. Our guest this morning, thank you so much, all three of you, for making this such an interesting conversation. Wonderful work. Keep going. We will be paying attention now that you have our attention, and keep track of your success. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Folks, that's what we've got for you today. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truck and Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truck and Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.